Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 79, Caught Bread-Handed. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I'm Roger, your host. And as you know, if you've listened to the show before, this is the podcast that helps aspiring home cooks just do better in the kitchen, have more confidence, have more fun, learn some interesting things, get inspired, all that kind of fun stuff. Today, I've got a really fun episode for you. If you've been listening to the show for a while, chances are back early this year in February, you listened to an episode where I interviewed mystery author Ellie Alexander about her Bake Shop Mystery series of books. Well, Ellie was passing through town here where I live, and I thought I'd take the opportunity maybe to grab a cup of coffee with her and get an update on what she's been up to, because she's got some new books out and she's been doing some fun things, baking and doing recipe testing and that sort of stuff. So I took the opportunity to take a few minutes to sit down, get an update from her, and just have a little bit of fun. Now, we did this in a coffee shop in Salem, so the sound is not probably as crystal clear as you're used to hearing, when I'm talking to you right now. So there's some ambient noise. You can hear some people talking. It's not too bad, so just keep that in mind, though. If you hear a latte steaming in the background, that's what that noise is, glasses clinking, that sort of a thing. Now, I want to also mention, before I jump right over to the conversation with Ellie, you can get her books, of course, in paperback, and I will have links to those at kitchencounterpodcast.com/79. But you can also find some audiobooks as well. And actually, I just downloaded the Batter of Life and Death audiobook and listened to it during my commute. And it was really, really good, really well done. And because I don't have a lot of free time to read, I really enjoyed it. And it got me in the mood to get in the kitchen and cook and bake. And it was set kind of in autumn, so it just got me fired up for fall. That's just around the corner. So I highly recommend doing that. Again, I'll put links to that in the show notes. If you're curious about who Ellie Alexander is and what in the world I'm talking about, go ahead and head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/52. That's the show notes and the episode link for the first time Ellie came on the show. We had a really great conversation about creativity and writing, her books and baking and all that good sort of stuff. One more thing, stick around to the end of the episode because I've got a great giveaway I'm going to share with you at the end after I wrap up my conversation with Ellie. So without further ado, here is Ellie Alexander. So I'm here with Ellie Alexander. Once again, thank you for coming back.
Thanks so much for having me.
This is exciting. It's been about 6 months since we talked last time.
I can't believe that.
And astonishingly, you have released another book, and you have another book, in the oven, so to speak.
Dun-dun-dun, yes.
is impressive to me. So what I thought would be fun is to touch base and just kind of chat again, because actually I got really, really good feedback from the episode that you were on last time. A lot of people thought it was really cool, and we're going to check out your books, and so I thought that was neat. So I thought we could check in, and then I'm going to do a giveaway of some stuff that I'll talk about after this episode. I won't go into detail right here, but it has to do with your books and maybe some other cool stuff. But I thought maybe you could tell us what's going on. Maybe start with the book. And so what's up with Jules, who, as we all know, is the main character, the protagonist, the detective with flowery hands.
Yes, Jules, our pastry chef, who we were just discussing before we started, has seen a lot of murders in poor little Ashland, which whenever I'm on book tour in Ashland, the residents there like to remind me there has not been a murder in 10 years. Although the murder that the town experienced 10 years ago was quite Shakespearean. It was a beheading by a sword. So at some point in time, and it's still an unsolved...
This is a true story?
This is a true story. It's still unsolved, and the FBI got involved, so I'm cataloging that for later. But for now, the new book that just came out is called Caught Bread-Handed, and Jules is back in Ashland. It's the off-season. The theater hasn't started up yet, and if you've been to Ashland, I think we talked about last time, the plaza, of course, is this whole Elizabethan village, right? Well, when I was down doing research during the off-season for the book, I noticed there were a lot of businesses that had signs up saying, gone fishing for 3 weeks, and then peppered in there would be a few businesses that were closed for good. So I started thinking, well, gosh, what if one of them not only closed for good, but what if a chain restaurant moved onto the plaza? I can't imagine people would be happy about that. You know, you've been to Ashley,
right?
Yeah,
that'd be weird.
It'd be terrible. And then, to make matters worse, what if it wasn't just a chain restaurant? What if it was, like, gaudy neon, bright orange and green? They've torn down the Shakespearean facade.
It's like a TGI Fridays.
Exactly.
Or something.
Except for this series, it's Shakesburgers.
Shakesburgers.
And they have a horrific dancing neon burger and shake, and their tagline is, "Our burgers make your bun shake." So people in Ashland are up in arms. And, of course, the owner of Shakesburgers ends up dead. And Jules is on the case yet again. Now, the really funny thing about this is I did all this research.
Besides Shakesburger?
Yeah, I know. Besides Shakesburgers. I do. I have way too much fun with that. I had thought about this idea of, well, I wonder if you have to adhere to specific design aesthetics or anything. But I just wrote the whole first draft of the book, not really caring, thinking, like, this is a great idea. It's fiction. It doesn't matter. And then when I finished the first draft, I started researching it. And lo and behold, yes, indeed, the town has very strict guidelines in terms of what you can and can't do on the plaza. So I was like, well, this is just brilliant. I was quite proud of myself.
Yeah, totally. It makes sense. I'm sure they do because, like, everything down there is perfect to the design aesthetic. I mean, I don't even like to call that because it just seems like it's a kind of natural outgrowth of the Shakespeare Festival.
Exactly. And it all,
like, why would you want to go against that? I don't even understand. But
a chain restaurant would.
So Cop Red Handed, which is super cool, and it's out now.
It's out now.
So I'll put links to that in the show notes, too, if people want to find it. And so what have you been baking? Because last time, I think we shared some baking tips and some baking notes, but I'm curious to know what you've been making.
I've been baking so much. I'm usually baking off-season, but right now I'm baking on-season, which is great. For this book, I had a number of recipes that I loved. Ironically, and I don't know how this happened, there are no recipes for bread in the book in Caught Bread-Handed. Well, I don't know. Usually when I'm writing, I'm in Jules' head so much and she's spending so much time in the kitchen in the pages of the book that I'll just sort of jot things down as I go. But it's not until I've finished a full first draft that then I really go to the kitchen and I start testing recipes myself. So there are lots of things that I reference that never make the final cut. And I end up with usually like 20 recipes and I have to pare it down to 7 or 8 mm-hmm. for the book. So one of my favorites from this book is a tomato orange soup. That is really just rich. There's a lot of acid with the orange. You make it with fresh tomatoes are best, but you could do canned tomatoes. Saute those with a little onion, puree them, add orange juice, but then you add this like little touch of baking powder to cut the acid. It's this creamy awesomeness. And one of my other favorite recipes from this book is a red velvet cake that you make with a flour frosting. And when I say flour frosting, people are like, oh.
Like F L O W E R?
No, like F L O U R.
Okay.
Flour. You puree this butter, or you don't puree it. You start with butter and flour and water, and you make this paste, and then you whip it with sugar, and it makes the most amazing frosting you've ever had in your life. It's light and airy. It's not super sweet, which I like, which I think balances really nicely, like with a moist red velvet cake. Yeah.
So can I share one of those on the...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I will get the recipe from you and put those on the show notes
Well.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
And by the way, you mentioned, I think on one of your Facebook events, that I think I asked you a question about audio books.
Yes.
And I did notice that some of those are on audio.
Yes.
So I downloaded one the other day on Audible and was listening to it, and they're really great.
Oh, that's great.
Because I have to commute, so I don't have a lot of time to read at home with family and stuff, but actually I was really getting into it. I thought it was really well done. So audiobook is a great way to go.
Yes.
So what's the next book in the series about? The one that's coming out in December, if you can tease any of that out.
Absolutely, yes.
I'm guessing that Jules survives this one.
I don't know. I mean, it might be be tight for her, but yeah, perhaps she'll be back in book 5. I don't know. And maybe there'll be another murder. Shocking. In book number 5, which is titled Fudge and Jury, Jules is a showcase vendor at Ashland's annual Chocolate Fest, which is also a real event. And I had the horrible job of having to taste and sample tons of chocolate for this book. It was rough, but I did it. So in this book, what can I tease without giving it away? I will tell you this much. I was doing an event at a spice shop probably 2 or 3 years ago, and I learned of a particular spice of some kind that could cause internal damage. And the poor spice shop owner, I just accosted him.
Wait, is this for real?
This is for real.
You're dropping all these weird things on me. I feel like it's... like a public service message that we should tell people what this is. Well, let's just keep it a secret. It's like a Russian roulette. You know,
touché.
Totally safe cooking at home.
Yeah, continue. If you have an allergy to tree nuts, you would also have an allergy to this spice. You're right. Should I?
No, it's all right.
It's all good. Yeah. Sorry.
I'll put the disclaimer on the beginning of this episode that I'm not responsible for any, you know. Anyway, continue.
You know what's really sad? I never thought about that until this very moment in time. What does that say about me?
Oh. What I love is that people right now, or hopefully when they're at home, are going to go to the spice cabinet and be like, holy crap.
Yeah, what's
there's
in here?
There's a killer lurking
there
in here.
There is a killer lurking in your spice cabinet if you're allergic to nuts. Tree nuts. Just Google
I'm going to have to try to guess what this is, but
okay.
Continue.
We can get, we'll play guessing later.
Okay.
Okay, so I learned this in real life when I was doing an event at a spice shop from the owner of a spice shop, and I kept a note about it for 2.5 years, and so I've been holding on to this plot forever. You think you know?
I think I know what it
okay,
is.
Okay, what do you think it is?
Juniper.
Nope.
Oh, shoot.
Good guess.
Allspice?
Nope.
Okay, I'll stop guessing.
So, in any event, Jules is a showcase vendor at the Chocolate Festival when one of her fellow chocolatiers ends up having a reaction to something that's in chocolate, and they assume that it's Jules's chocolate cake this time. So there's some shade being thrown Jules' way, and so she's on the case, and she has to figure out what this secret spice is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, very cool. That sounds fun. I'm dying to try to figure out what this is now.
Yeah, you are dying too. I know.
Is it cinnamon?
No.
I'm trying to think of all like the tree-related spices.
Right.
It's not pine nuts.
No.
Okay.
It's nothing nuts.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Okay. We'll have to circle back to this.
Yes,
when I've done recording, because we won't give it away.
No, we won't. Because you have to read the book, and then you'll know.
Yeah, exactly.
But in the meantime, just don't eat any spice.
Yeah.
Between now and December,
salt
just
is safe, I presume. And we know juniper, cinnamon.
Juniper, yep.
And
allspice.
Allspice is safe.
Pine nuts, fine. Yeah.
Pine nuts are fine. Interesting. What will we make? So what are you doing for food research these days?
Yeah, so one of the best things about writing the series is getting to go and research real chefs and how they work in the world, because I am not a professionally trained chef. Everything I know I've learned in my home kitchen or from my family or friends. So this summer, I just last weekend was a celebrity judge at the Bite of Oregon. I was a judge for Iron Mixology, where Oregon's top bartenders went head-to-head. And I think they created 6 cocktails all told.
Nice.
Which my responsibility was tasting.
Wow.
Which was also rough.
Yeah, sounds terrible.
But now I want to...
I'm sure you spit it all out.
I did,
right.
No, yeah, you certainly...
Yeah.
Definitely not. And they were full cocktails, too. When they would deliver them, I'd be like, wow, by cocktail number 6, you're just clearly the winner, obviously. It was really interesting to watch their process, because I haven't done a lot. I've observed, like, we're in a coffee shop today, I've observed a lot of coffee baristas at work and that sort of thing. But now I'm thinking, because Tort is an artisan bake shop and there's sort of this food trend right now to add this whole like happy hour element, that I would love to work that in somehow, and watching sort of the level of care, you know, so these bartenders were pureeing a variety of, you know, like mangoes and berries, and they're simmering cinnamon and sauces for hours for this one little simple syrup that you had like 3 drops of. And Bitters, Portland Bitters Project was there, which would also be a great way to kill someone off, is sort of what I was thinking. But
yeah, you frightened me a little bit. But so how do you, like, what do? You just call up a coffee shop and say, hey, can I shadow your baristas for a day?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Yeah, and people have been so, I'm shocked. They've
You're like,
so,
I'm an author, I'm researching for a book.
Right.
I need to know how to murder somebody with espresso beans.
I haven't gone the route of I need to know how to murder someone, but people are usually relatively good. Although after this episode, they're probably going to be like, nope. But I do try to sort of watch food trends, because I think it's relevant, especially because in the Northwest, we're so foodie based. And the new trend in both chocolate and even coffee shops is savory pairings. So, you know, like a mushroom chocolate, which I don't think I can get behind. It doesn't work for me, but people, you know, some people swear by them, but we'll see. I just had a pine needle infused coffee.
That sounds terrible.
It wasn't great. We're not going to talk about where it was from. But I've seen those popping up
Did you say it was great?
I said it was not great.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's all right.
But someone else would probably love it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's
And it's on trend, so it's going to have to work its way into a book in some way. Pine-infused coffee.
Yeah. If you, talking about trends, would you consider that a baking trend? Like, what kind of... it looks like I'm seeing a lot of, like, old-fashioned type dishes coming back.
Yeah.
Is that a new trend?
I think that's
as
definitely...
As far as baking goes?
Yes. Like, for sure. And I don't know if this is just Northwest, because my experience in terms of really getting to shadow people and be hands-on in kitchens has been primarily here. But bringing back things like lard for pie crust.
Right.
So I'm not sure if that's happening nationwide, but it's definitely on point here. And sort of that throwback to, you know, latticework pie crusts that are happening. Pie crust art is a big thing in baking right now.
It's almost like there's, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but it's almost like there's kind of a hipster vibe going on with it in a way. You know what I mean? It's kind of... call back to retro might be the wrong word, but you know what I mean, more of a vintage kind of a feel.
Vintage kitchen, yes.
Yeah, which I think is cool because that's like what I grew up with, so that feels comfortable to me.
For sure, me too.
Yeah. Very interesting. Because I saw a recipe for hot cross buns. I didn't know people made those.
Oh, people
anymore.
Make them big time.
Is that always been around? Or
no,
is that, like,
I think
coming back?
It's coming back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think I shared it on my Facebook page. I'm like, this looks great. I mean, I don't remember ever having them, so I just think that vintage stuff is kind of coming back.
And the intricate work of, I've been following a lot of pie bloggers, and they're just doing this amazing artwork on these lattice crusts and then using cookie presses and leaf designs and things like that, which I can remember my grandmother with her little cookie cutter and pizza roller making the lattice crust.
The
strips.
Do you know, is her name Katie Lebo? High school.
I don't know
Kate
her.
Lebo High School.
Okay.
Have you met her?
No.
I've not met her. I'd like to meet her. She wrote a book called High School, but
let's
she does.
Get her on. What are we going to do today?
Exactly. And anyway, she wrote a book called High School, and she does workshops around the Northwest where you'll show up and she'll help you make a pie. Because I think pie making is difficult.
Yes.
I mean, you'd think it wouldn't be. It's just mix a bunch of stuff up and make a crust, but it's really hard to pull off well.
No, I want a pie in a future book just because I've been so inspired by seeing this new trend. And they're popping up everywhere now. You're seeing this.
She might be one to talk to.
That's
so
great.
Check her out.
Okay.
And I'm still trying to think of what that spice is. But
you want to take another stab? Stab.
Okay, don't say it.
Okay, I won't say it.
I guess we can wrap it up there.
Okay.
So thank you so much for sitting down and talking again. I will get the recipes from you. I will get the info, and I will share the giveaway info right after the break. And maybe when Fudge and Jury comes out, you can share a deadly spice recipe with us.
I will absolutely share a deadly spice recipe come December. And in the meantime, stay away from your spice cupboard.
Yeah, I'm going to be Googling this when we're done.
Thank
you
for
very
having
much,
me.
Ellie.
Yeah, you bet.
Hey, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Ellie Alexander. As I mentioned, if you want to get a hold of her books or check out more about her, head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/79 for the show notes, and I'll have links to everything right there. I've also got that recipe for the tomato orange soup, which is really awesome. And as promised, I have a bit of news about a giveaway to share with you. So if you're listening to this episode when it first comes out, I want to let you know that you've got about a week to enter my giveaway, and I've got a lot of really cool stuff in this package. First of all, I've got a signed copy of Caught Bread Handed, Ellie Alexander's latest book, but I've also built around that a really fun baking-inspired package for fall. If you go to kitchencounterpodcast.com/contest, in time, you'll see all the details on the package and how to enter it. But just to give you a sneak preview, in addition to the book, we've got a couple of baking bread mix packages. We've got a nice Wilton Pro Style loaf pan and a Wilton mini loaf pan, a Hamilton Beach hand mixer, a citrus zester, some measuring cups, silicone spatula, all sorts of fun stuff. So I want you to head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/contest for all the details on that. All right, so that's it from me for now. And of course, as usual, I'd like to let you know that if you'd like to get a hold of me, you can send me an email to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. I read and respond to all my emails. Of course, you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/kitchencounterpodcast and Twitter at @TKCpodcast and Instagram and some other places too. But I bet you can find me. All right, everybody, until next time, I hope you get in the kitchen and get some baking done because fall is here. All right, happy cooking.